Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here tonight as we sing, as we hear from your word. Lord, we ask that you will awe us again, Lord, with this familiar story that many of us have heard hundreds of times over. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just bring it to life in our hearts. And as we worship with these words, that you will draw so near and refresh our hearts and our souls with the wonder of your great plan of salvation, of your great love for each one of us, for all of humanity, and inspire us to continue on our journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Amen. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Just to share a few thoughts with you before we light our candles and sing our last carol. I don't know about you, but I love a good story. And the story of the First World War, the clip that you saw, I first came across that several years ago when I was working in schools. It was a theatre company, a one-man theatre company. And he played both the part of the Germans and of the British over there. And what he would do is he would be on one side and he would speak German, or a very German accent in English. And then he'd come across this side and he'd have a really broad Cockney accent. Like a, you know, a proper sort of Tommy kind of First World War soldier that you'd expect. And that was the first time I'd ever heard that story told at all. But to hear it told so poignantly was really inspiring. Because stories inspire us, don't they? Like that. And you're probably wondering, why on earth do we play that clip? Why are we telling you this story? Apart from the fact that this happened in 1914 at Christmas. But actually, it's an amazing picture of the meaning of Christmas. Firstly, because what the soldiers said, wasn't it, is that they recognised that this was not going to be a peace that would last. They hoped for a peace that would last. And the Bible says clearly that when Jesus Christ returns to earth, at that point there will literally be peace on earth.
Amen.
All the weapons of war will be turned into agricultural tools, and Jesus, the King of Kings, will rule. No evil will be present in the world. And we have that to look forward to. But you know, when the angel spoke to the shepherds, he said, glory to God in the highest and peace to men on earth because you are highly favored. Now, what is that peace actually about? We might think it's that peace like the war. Well, actually, it is. Like that. And that's why the story has such a deep and powerful meaning as you are going to think about it. Because the default position for humanity has been since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, has been that we have been separated from God, and in truth, we are enemies. That's what the Bible clearly says. We are enemies. We are in rebellion to the Creator God who has made us. We have kicked him out of our life. We've kicked him out of our community. We've kicked him out to push him out of the way because self wants to rule. The Bible says we're sinners. That's what sin is, when we push God out and we rule ourselves. And that makes us an enemy of God. Now, it's a good job, isn't it, that Jesus said about enemies, he said, love your enemies. Why did he say that? Because Jesus loves his enemies.
Amen.
Just because we're enemies does not mean to say that God does not love us completely and totally. Of course he does. But the default position is we're enemies. And if we're to die in that position, it says that we're going to an eternity that is lost. It says we're under the wrath of God and his judgment, a subject that none of us really likes to really think about or even to acknowledge. But that's the default position. That's true. When the angel spoke to Joseph, he said, call him Jesus because he will save people from their sins. When the angel was in heaven singing out for the shepherds, it says, today in this Bethlehem is born to you a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. He didn't say a helper. He didn't say a guide.
He didn't say a good teacher, he said a saviour. Somebody who's going to save you from the wrath of God and the judgment to come for our sin and our rebellion. And it's the default position we're in. But why I love that story about the Germans so much is that somebody took the initiative. There were warfare going on. It was bloody, it was violent, it was human beings and nature at its worst. And yet on that Christmas, as they sang carols, one solitary German got out of the trench and moved towards the enemy line. And as I thought about that, I felt my heart going, yes, that was what God did at Christmas, wasn't it? He took the initiative. He came out of heaven to face the enemy face to face and took the initiative to make peace. And then as that video was playing, I could feel myself welling up with tears when I thought, the soldier repeated it twice. He said, and we shook hands. And we shook hands, he said. I could feel the heart of God in the reconciliation that was taking place. That God with us would come to those who are evil, sinners, guilty, undeserving, enemies, and would come and would shake hands. What a beautiful picture of that reconciliation that took place. But you know, the other thing that really struck me about that story is that it lasted for a moment. In the actual warfare, as we saw, by the time Christmas Day came and ended, the command came from high command on both sides to resume fighting. They had a moment in which peace could have been lasting. If only those generals had seen that and gone, this is an opportunity. Destiny would have been changed. And I want to really appeal to you all tonight that, you know, do you have peace with God? He is offering that peace. The fighting to end and to know him and to be covered and cleared, no longer under condemnation and judgment and the wrath to come, but to know him as Lord and Saviour. And not just as a friend, but as a child, as a family member, welcomed back to where you belong. That's the essence of that story, but it was for a moment. And there are three moments that I think are important to each one of us. The first moment is from the moment that Jesus died for our sins and paid the penalty of all of the bad stuff that we did, because he loved us so much, on the cross to his resurrection, there's a gap between then and between the return of Christ. And peace has been extended. God is pleading with people to be reconciled to him. He loves every human being and says, come, I've done everything to make this possible. Take my hand and be reconciled to me. There's the first gap. But you are not going to live that long. That's thousands of years, and who knows when that time will be in the future when Jesus returns. Your gap is your life. The 70, 80, 90 years that have been allotted to you. That's the gap where God is here with his hand offering the peace to be reconciled to him, to be made one of his children, one of his dearly beloved children, and welcome back because he loves you so much. But you know, the story has one more moment for me, and that moment is now. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit, he opens up our hearts at different times. There are times when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about him that we're here to celebrate, and the Holy Spirit himself, he touches our heart to open it, where we become aware of our need, perhaps of our sinfulness and our need of a Saviour. But what will you do with that moment? Those moments often are few and far between when you're receptive and open. We will leave here and we'll go back into our celebration, our life, and God's always there. But that moment you will close and go back into the everyday, ordinary. So I want to appeal to you tonight. That moment is open. Receive Jesus Christ. His love for you is just so amazing. He's promised anyone who believes in him, confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. And at that moment you become born again. The Spirit of God enters into your life and begins a work to change your heart and give you new life. That eternal life starts right at that instant. And Jesus promised abundance of life, life in all of its fullness, if you're only willing. As that soldier said, we shook hands. We shook hands. So I just want to give you that opportunity tonight, that moment, that decision changes a destiny forever in one moment. So let's just bow our heads. And if you'd like to do that tonight, I'm just going to pray a prayer. And just ask you, you can pray it loud, you can pray it in your own heart, but just hear the words. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came into this world. You came to die for me so that all of my sins can be forgiven. So I can be your child. I accept and receive you now. Help me to walk in your ways from this day on. Amen. Amen.